This call is being recorded.
I thank you for all your goodness. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your power and all of the things that you've done for us. I thank you for allowing us to see what you taught those seven churches, because we're able to look in your scripture and see what you will put up with, what you will not put up with, and what you want for us as your people. I ask you to look upon us as people that are weak. And as I told a man today, we're dependent. We're dependent upon you. And we want to serve you in the right way. Help us by your might, by your power, and by your strength to be the people that you would have us to be in these, as we call it, last and evil days. We don't know when the end will be, but what we do know is that if we please you, if we walk the way that you want us to walk, we can be productive in your cause. Help us, I pray, in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus Christ, the magnificent, the righteous one. Amen, amen, and amen. And without any further ado, let us go into our scriptures. We've been working in the book of the Revelation, and we've been talking about Jesus Christ being revealed in the scriptures. And we've been talking about the revelation of the victorious Jesus. Every now and then I will pull out a title or something that is really, I think, apropos. Well, tonight I want to talk about Jesus Christ reveals that his doctrine matters. Jesus is the one that reveals that his doctrine matters, and I want us to be able to see where we're coming from in the scripture. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2. We're going to land on verse 6. That's where we're going to land. We're going to land on verse 6. We'll touch verse 7. Then we're going to go to the 15th verse so I can pull out my thought that Jesus is the one whose revelation of himself, his doctrine matters. And I'll say it in many ways, but what the real essence is his doctrine is what matters. Everything else is damnable. Let's just go ahead and let that out of the box. So as we look through this, I want you all to know you're probably going to need your pen and paper if you decide that you want everything that I call out. Just ask me for it Saturday. We just make you a copy, because this is going to pull us into a teaching that needs to be brought forth in the religious or the Christian community. Let's read to him. I'm going to start at verse 1, bring us down to, like I said, 6. We'll touch 7 and go to 15. Let us begin. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars, and is born, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlesticks out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 15, chapter 2. So thou hast also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I In order for you to understand what I'm talking about tonight and where I'm going with this, is that there were two things that I needed to pull out of this so that as we go through the book of the Revelation, we begin to see that presuppositionally, in other words, where our worldview comes from, that whatever God said is right. And God has revealed his word to us through his son. He is the last revelation that we will get. Buddha will not be your revelation. Muhammad will not be your revelation. Tim Merritt will not be your revelation. Your thoughts, your opinion, your society, Black Lives Matter, the United States government of China will not be the revelation of God. It is all tied up in Jesus, the magnificent Christ. His doctrine that he reveals is the one that matters. Did I say that well, or do I need to repeat it? Bless God's everlasting name forever. And then looking at this passage, I was looking and I said, this thou hast. In other words, this is what you have grasped. This is what you hold, that you hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans. I wanted to go ahead and show the importance of hatred in the word of God. I wanted to show the power and the importance of hating something for God's sake. I needed to show that. But instead of showing that first, I want to show you what it is that they hate, so that when I start showing you that what this hatred is, that if we don't have it, we're not with God. Do you like what I'm saying? I don't care if you don't like it, if it's the word of God, and it is the word of God. I'm not wishy-washy on that. But here it is. This you have, that you hate the deeds. That word deeds comes from the Greek word ergon. This is the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now, as Brother Rich and I have talked, and maybe different ones have talked, we know that there are some issues. What are the Nicolaitans? What did the Nicolaitans teach, etc.? But what we do know, we may not know everything about it. There are different things that have been said throughout church history. There are things that are said in commentary books. But what we do know is what the word of God has to say about the Nicolaitans. And in that 15th verse of the second chapter, when he's talking to another church, there is something that he says about the Nicolaitans that we need to understand what's going on with the Nicolaitans. And we also will see the same thing in the 14th verse. But I was just dealing with the Nicolaitan because that's the one that was mentioned in verse 6. Listen what it says here. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Now, you'll hear people say, we don't need to discuss doctrine. You'll hear people say, all we need to do is love, and we don't need a doctrine. And trying to diddle or mess in my mind, or molest my mind, take my mind and make it subject to them so that they can do what to my mind what they want to, trying to seduce me in my mind. Am I using biblical words when I say seduce my mind? I know that I am. You're trying to seduce my mind to tell me I don't need a doctrine and all that I need is love. Well, I want to submit to you, that's a doctrine. To tell me all that I need is love and allow you to define what love is, you have given me a doctrine. Some people might say, but Tim, I don't believe that that's a doctrine. Well, since we believe and since we know that words are important, what we need to do is let's look and see what the word doctrine means. If we can look and see what the word doctrine means, then we can actually get to the place where we can move on and have some agreement. It doesn't mean that a person's going to agree with everything that I say. That's never the issue anyway. What the issue is what does God's word say? Now, I'm using Vine's Expository Dictionary of the Bible. I could have used Gerhard Kittles and all of that, but I wanted a short one for us tonight since they all would take you to the same place. The word doctrine comes from the Greek word, what we have is didache. You don't have to write it down. You have a Strong's Concordance, a blue-letter Bible. You can look it up. But listen to what the word is dealing with. Under doctor denotes teaching. that which is taught. Doctrine, teaching, the act of teaching and instruction. This is what we are talking about. You hold the teaching, and when you're dealing with the teaching, you're dealing with the learning, you're dealing with the instruction of someone or something. In this passage, this church that had tried those that said that they were apostles, this church that had borne and had patience and put up with pains and sufferings, that had left its first love, part of leaving its first love, and we went through that, could have also been this. That you as a group of people that have left your first love and you got this thing that I love with you, and I mean that I hate with you, you may focus on that and miss the love. I'm not going to that right now. But what I do want to help you to understand is the deeds, the ergon, the works of the Nicolaitan we know is a teaching, is a false teaching. And what is the big deal about doctrine? I remember Paul Crouch, who used to run TBN, said, "I don't want to discuss it. This is doctrinal doo-doo." Yes, he said it. I got it on CD. I also have it recorded in MP3. Don't think I'm lying. I've heard people say that you're heresy hunters. You're always looking at somebody's doctrine, trying to find something wrong. And all we need to do is love, or teach that love of Jesus, or that Jesus died for your sins. Well, let's listen to how the Bible talks. The Bible speaks explicitly about God, and it talks about his doctrine. One of the places where I started and I said, you know, I really want to see how this thing runs through the scriptures. I really don't like to go through the scriptures and just pull a word and see. But when you have a computer, you can look at things and you can see a pattern. And I can go in and pick and choose that, which I know has to be what Jesus is talking about here. But let's go back to the origin of, in our English Bible, how that word is used. Because we use the English Bible, and therefore the word is going to be doctrine. Listen to what God says in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 2, when the Lord started talking. I'll read 1 and 2 and let you just kind of get a feel for it. God says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak." What? I had to stop there for that. God said he's going to speak. And he says, heavens give ear. But what did man do when God speak? Let me go see what somebody else got to say about it. Until we get the mindset that our worldview, what we think about life, what we think about death, what we think about father, what we think about mother, sister, brother, husband, wife, let alone the book of the Revelation, we need to know if God has spoken, that we ought to have as much sense as the heavens to give ear when he speaks. I'll read it again without interrupting myself. "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herbs, and as the showers upon the grass." My doctrine. Do you hear, as God is using Moses to speak, and you hear him say, "My doctrine will drop as the rain, my speech as the dew"? Do you understand what the doctrine is supposed to do? That the words that come from God's mouth, that God allowed to come from Moses' mouth, that the words he let Moses instantiate or to write down in symbols in writing, his doctrine will drop as the rain and as the dew that brings up the tender herbs, that brings up the grass. Everything that you eat that comes from the plant world comes because God allows it to have water. His doctrine is supposed to build us up. His doctrine is supposed to give us everything that we need to grow just like that, because he wasn't saying that my words, when I speak my words, the rain comes down and the dew comes down. And I mean, and you eat and you're not supposed to get anything deeper than that from it. Please, let's be serious when we get to the word of God. Life is too serious. Death is too serious. Listen to what the Bible says about the wisdom of God's doctrine. In Proverbs 4 and 2, listen, this is a beautiful thing for you to see. I'm going to start at verse 1, we go to 2. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I will give you good doctrine. Forsake you not my law. When a father is doing like God said, this can't be for every father, because some fathers don't love God's word. Some fathers cheat on their wife. Some fathers run around and do dirt. Some fathers are even practicing all kind of wickedness and ungodliness. We're talking about a father that has God as his father, that has given him instruction and has given him doctrine, and he does what God tells him to do in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 11, and teach their son when they rise up and when they go by the way. He says, you children, attend to no understanding, for I will give you good doctrine. I will submit to you by just virtue of one saying good doctrine that you will begin to understand. If you just think just a little bit, there is some bad doctrine. And doctrine doesn't come out from what you think. Doctrine does not come out from just what somebody says. The origin of doctrine, we got to remember, we need our worldview, we need our presupposition, we need our starting point to be whatever God said is right. Whatever God says about any situation is true. And whatever God says about it, let that be your teaching. Let that be your doctrine. Let that be your stronghold and your anchor. Now I'm going to read something from Ben Sirach. Somebody say, why you read something from the Apocrypha? I'm going to give you enough scripture that we accept, but I'm going to let you read hear something that's very intelligent that you can look at it, and if you decide to dismiss it, I'm going to move to the New Testament after I read it. But I thought it was quite profound what this man said. I liked it, and I'm going to read it to you anyway because I know it's true. Proverbs say some things like this, but I may have had to read more scriptures. This is just one scripture. In Sirach, it says, doctrine unto fools is as fetters on the feet and manacles on the right hand. Doctrine, I'm talking about the right teaching, to fools, it's just like you have shackled their feet in irons. It doesn't let them go where they want to go. It won't let them do what they want to do, so they don't want, they want to break away from doctrine. It's just like having their hands, just like manacles chained on their hands. They don't want to hear it. Did you like that? If you didn't like it, let's move to what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Listen to what the Bible says about Jesus. Matthew 7, 28. Because Jesus does have a doctrine. And mankind has a vain doctrine. Listen to Jesus talk about his doctrine. Well, in Matthew 7:28, the people notice it. It says, and it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. But where did Jesus get this doctrine from? Well, he says in the 7th chapter of John, verse 16, my doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. He says, my doctrine is mine. It's mine. It's my doctrine. My doctrine is the only one that matters, but it's not mine. I came to earth and I laid aside my rights and prerogative to operate as God. I came in fashion as man. My ears are open to hear what he has to say. And whatever he tells me, I'm going to tell you. Whatever he tells me, my worldview, my presupposition is whatever God has for me is mine. And I'm not going to let you take it. I'm not going to let you change it. I'm going to give it to you just like it is. My doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. Listen to verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. I said, Jesus reveals that his doctrine is the only one that matters. His doctrine is the kind of doctrine that fools would rather look at it as if it's a chain to be put on their ankles or a chain to be put on their hand. They don't want to teach to their children. Their children don't learn the wisdom of God. They don't know that God's doctrine is just like the rain that comes down, and the duties of the earth is for you to grow and be like God. But listen to what men like for doctrine. According to Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, when the people got upset with Jesus because his disciples didn't do all the rituals that they wanted to have done, Jesus says about this kind of people, verse 8, Matthew 15, 8 and 9, this people, they draw nigh to me with their mouth, and they honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. They draw nigh. I love you, Lord. Lord, I've said the sinner's prayer. I listen to Creflo Dollar say that the covenant is the tithe, and I paid the tithe. I've listened to different ones say that all I got to do is say, Jesus, forgive me. I've heard others say, I just plead the blood. He says, in vain they do worship me. They do worship. They are worshiping me, but it's in vain. What are they doing? Teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. He has just said, I have a doctrine, but it's not mine. It's the Father that sent me. If you do it, you will know if it's of myself or of God. I will submit to you that Jesus has revealed himself as the one whose only and only his doctrine matters. But what do we think about? Well, Jesus left. And what did the apostles do? Well, I'm glad that you asked that magnificent question. What does the Bible say in Acts chapter 2:42? We know Jesus ascends in the first chapter. But what did his apostles do? How did they teach? Listen to what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread. What was this said? This was said after 3,000 souls came, after they had preached the word of God. We've already gone through the revelation of Jesus in the book of Hebrews, where it says explicitly in chapter 2 of Hebrews verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first was spoken by the Lord and confirmed by those that heard him? The apostles' doctrine is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. I will submit to you, but let's prove it. Let's go to John chapter 16, verse 13. I want you to understand that when I say that the doctrine of Jesus Christ, and when he reveals it, it's the only one that matters. Therefore, he hates the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Therefore, when we move in further down into the book of the Revelation, we're going to see he hates the doctrine of the Balaamites. And I will submit to you that he hates the doctrine of the prosperity message. And I, if I have enough time, will show it to you tonight. I will also show you that he hates the doctrine of licentiousness and license, because his doctrine is the only one that matters. Do you hear what the Spirit is saying to the church? This is what he was telling the people in the first century. And if you don't think that's applicable to us today, you don't need to read no more of the rest of the Bible, because all of it was given for specific situations and was applicable to those that would read it. Listen to what Jesus says here in the 13th verse of chapter 16, the Gospel of John. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath of mine, therefore said I, he shall take of mine and show it unto you. Listen to what's being said here. The Spirit of truth, when he's come, he's going to guide you into truth. He's going to guide you into truth. He's not going to speak of himself. He's not going to just be teaching you of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Move with me, if you will, a little further down in that same chapter, the verse. I want you to go back to verse 6 in John 16 and listen to what he says here. I want you to see it from there, and then I want you to feel this. John 16 and 6, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. He's telling me he's going to leave. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. What is he going to teach? What is he getting from me? What is he going to give you? He's going to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you shall see me no more. And of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Understand this. If you are here, your pastor, or if you are here, someone like Joel Osteen said, I don't talk about sin, then how is it that he's getting here from God? How is he getting the doctrine of Jesus Christ? How is it if I tell you sin doesn't matter? Listen to what he says. He says, I tell you the truth, is it expedient that I go away? I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart and go to the right hand of the Father and receive my kingdom, my dominion, my honor, my glory, according to what the Bible has already said in Daniel 7 and 13, if I don't go to the Father according to Psalms 2 and ask and he would give me the kingdom of the world, if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come, but I'm going to sit and rule and co-reign with my Father. I've been here on earth and I've been here as a sacrifice. I came here my first mission. I'm going to send him, and when he comes, he's going to reprove the world of sin. He's going to reprove them of that sin, righteousness, and judgment of sin because they have not believed on me as the starting point. Because I gave them God's word. I gave them right doctrine. My doctrine, it dropped down like rain. It was like dew on the earth. I told them what God had said. I told them who God was. I told them that this is the one that created male and female. But even in our world today, we say evolution. Some might believe in Baal. Some might believe a blood clot. As some guys have told me that Muslims say that's what happened. He says, because they have not believed on me, not just my person, but also my words. I judge them for sin. He will reprove them for sin because they have not believed my doctrine. They haven't believed what I told them of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Do you understand of righteousness that I came and I paid the penalty? I came sin for you so that you will not have to bear your sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God. Do you understand I was raised from the dead to be the first fruits of them that slept, that show that I have conquered death of righteousness? I go to the Father, I reign, I show the world that I was righteous in every way, and I make the way for you to be righteous. You don't believe on me, you don't believe in my righteousness and of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. You have no business laying down under Satan with his foot on your neck. I came in Matthew 12, and by the finger of God, I cast out Satan's authority and I plundered him. I've led captivity captive. I gave gifts to men. Don't you allow yourself to feel like that the prince of this world has not been conquered. My brother James will tell you, if you resist the devil, you will flee from here. That's my doctrine. And you're going to let some hold fast in one church? The teacher of the Nicolaitans, the reason he hates the teacher of the Nicolaitans and he's proud of the church in Ephesus for holding that they don't allow and that they hate the teachers of the Nicolaitans or the doctrine of the Nicolaitans is because if they got that doctrine, it says Jesus is not who he says he is. His doctrine is the only one that matters. It was confirmed by the apostles. I quoted to you Hebrews chapter 2. But let's let the book of Romans talk. The book of Romans can talk. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. Listen to what Paul tells these people. But God be thanked. You are the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Someone will say, but how do you know that's the apostles' doctrine? Did Jesus go into Rome and teach? Or did he say that he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Don't play with the word of God. Love God's word. Walk with God's word. But do you realize many will not listen to it? Let's look at 2 Timothy 4 and 3. And like I said, if I'm giving them to you too fast, I'll make you a copy if you want it. But listen to what he says about people. The same writer, Paul, 2 Timothy 4 and 3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure the doctrine that comes down like rain. They will not endure the only doctrine that matters, that comes like the dew on the herbs. They will not endure the only doctrine that has fathers that teach his son when they rise up and sit down. They will not endure the type of doctrine that Jesus said was not his own but the Father. They will not endure the kind of doctrine that the apostles teach and that they come back with telling of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But what will they do? After their own lust, they will heap to themselves teachers or doctrine givers, having their own ears. Yes, he hates that kind of one. That's why he hates. And he said, you hate, and I also hate it. Have you learned to hate what Jesus hates? Have you learned to hate false doctrine yet? Or are you going to be ecumenical all of your life and everything goes? And if the Pope calls you all to come to New York and he's going to give a blessing on you and he's going to pray with you and he's going to tell you what to do, you're going to jump and go hopscotch? Listen to what the Bible says about people that's got a different doctrine. Romans chapter 6. Bless God forever. Amen. Verse 17. I'm sorry, Romans 16 and 17. I don't know how I said that incorrectly. I probably was too warm in my seat. It says, and now I beseech you, brethren, mark them. Notice what it says. Mark them to watch carefully. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have heard. It says learn. I said heard. And avoid them. Read it again, Tim, since you missed it up. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Why do you think I mentioned Creflo Dollar when he said the covenant is a tithe? That's a division. It's a different doctrine. Why do you think I mentioned Joel Osteen? I don't have a problem with Joel Osteen being a human. But I hate what he teaches, and I hate what he stands for, and I'm telling you, he is my enemy unless he changes from what he teaches and giving people the wrong thing till he comes to the will of God. He says, cause offenses. That's what is called a trap, a stumbling trap, contrary in opposition to the doctrine which only matters that's revealed. Jesus' doctrine is revealed as the only one that is matter. But people say, you don't tell nobody. You don't call no name. How do you mark them then? How do you make people know? They even put a skull and crossbones on certain things so that you know, don't you pick this up and drink it. You better not. Listen to what the Bible says. Not only do you mark those people, but you resist them. What does the Bible show in Ephesians 4 and 14? That you henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Sometimes you need to watch animal pictures. Watch the animal pictures of the predators, especially the cats or the snake, and watch how the cat can just move so slowly and so gracefully and just hide and then pounce. He's lying in wait. Capture, deceive. 1 Timothy 3, 1 and 3 said, don't even mix with them. What do you mean, don't mix? Listen to what the Bible says. First Timothy 3, Paul tells Timothy, as I besought you to abide still in Ephesus, the same church, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Did you hear that? That they teach. And I will submit to you what Jesus said. I like this. You hate what I hate. You hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. What were the deeds of the Nicolaitans? Well, we at least know explicitly one of it was their doctrine. Their doctrine was to supersede God's doctrine. Their doctrine was to supersede Jesus' doctrine. Their doctrine didn't come down like the dew. It did not come down like the rain. It shouldn't be your presupposition or the starting point of your life, the way you evaluate all of your experiences and every decision that you have to make. The word of God, the doctrine of Jesus should take that place in your life. And he told Timothy, don't you let them, you warn them, you charge them that they teach no other doctrine. Drop down to the 10th verse of 1 Timothy. Listen to what he says here. He's talking about some issues that I'm going to come back to in a minute, but I want to come to it here. He says, whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with men stealers, for liars, perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, remember, mark them that cause divisions contrary to the doctrine. Remember it said that? Mark them that causes divisions contrary to the doctrine. Where does the doctrine come from? It drips from God's mouth. Listen, heaven. Listen, earth. If you listen, you'll hear my doctrine. It descends down in the same way that makes plants to grow. It'll make you grow. It can cause you to have eternal life. It can cause you to be just like me. Now, if I start at the last part of that and show you about the doctrine that they teach no other sound doctrine, wicked doctrine, then I want you to see something about how Jesus judged them that charges or that teach another doctrine. Why would I show you that? Because if his doctrine is the only one that matters, then he walks in the candlesticks and he holds the seven stars and his feet are like brass, and, well, let's see what he's going to do about something. Let's see what authority does he have. Because if he's going to reveal himself as the only doctrine that matters, how do you enforce it? Is it just a suggestion? Is it just a platitude? I would submit to you, if you go to John, Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, listen to what the Bible says. The Father, I left the preposition out, so for those that might get upset, for the Father judges no man. Did you hear this? For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Here is the one that's in the midst of the candlesticks. Here is the one that is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. Here is the one that made us a kingdom of priests unto God and his Christ. Here is the one that said, I am the first and the last. Here is the one that said, I am he that lived and was dead and I'm alive forevermore. Here is the one that has the keys of death and hell. And his doctrine is the only one that matters. And he says, I'm the one that's doing the judgment. So when I walk in the candlesticks, I'm in my rightful place. Bless his everlasting name that sit between the cherubim. Was I clear? The Bible spoke of that time when those things that were happening, when the end of their system would be the system of the tabernacle, the system of the laver, that system of the Ark of the Covenant and the Aaronic priesthood and all those things that would happen. We've gone through this before, that would be called the last days. Well, listen to what the Apostle Paul tells Timothy about that particular time. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. He says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having the conscience seared with an hot iron. And you can read on down and see what other things that they do. But he's saying that even in that particular time, then those things were going to happen. How much more will we think we're more technological? Well, we think we're more technologically advanced. We think we're better than they are. And yet, we're not smart enough to let Jesus be our starting point, the word of God, in the way that we weigh all of our actions, weigh all of our relationships, weigh everything that happens in our life and evaluate them. We don't go to God's word as our starting point to evaluate this world. We go by what we think, what my mama told me, what my cousin told me, and it doesn't matter if it's God's word. He says in the latter times, even then, that's what would happen. But let's look and see what he says if you move on down in that fourth chapter to verse 13. Paul tells Timothy, till I come, give attendance. In other words, you don't neglect this. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and doctrine. People say doctrine don't matter. Paul says to Timothy, you give attendance to reading, to exhortation. You give people what they need so that they can be built up. You give them encouragement that they need and to doctrine, and neglect not the gift that was given into you. By prophecy with laying on of hands, meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them that your prophecy may appear to all. Verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, and to the doctrine, and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. This is why he hates that these are the Galatians. It moves people. It takes people away from the doctrine of God, the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine that if they would do it, they would know it. The doctrine is going to be put aside in the latter days, that you have people that are speaking of things that are contrary to it. And he says, I hate that. I didn't come here to condemn the world. I came here to save the world. But if you don't want to believe me, when I send my spirit to talk to the apostles to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, there's only one other thing that will happen. If you can't be saved, you will be damned. Bless God forever. Amen. Paul tells Timothy, only support those who hold to the doctrine of Jesus. What do you mean, Tim? 1 Timothy 5 and 17, listen to what the Bible says. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. That means double compensation and double pay. Somebody say, Tim, you just saying that so we'll give you more money. Have I ever asked somebody to give me money? I work. God tell you to give me something, you give it. God don't tell you, I'm still going to preach the Bible. I don't want to be chargeable to no man. That's what Paul said, and I like it. I like something else Paul said. Paul said, I have not shunned to give you the whole counsel of God. Why do you think we like to go through Bible verse by verse? Why do you think we spend so much time on this one little word in this verse? Because I want us to see the counsel of God on doctrine, because people say doctrine divides. Yes, it divides from that which Jesus says is revealed as the only one that matters versus all the others. And I don't think I did wrong for spending this much time on it. Now read it again, Tim Merritt. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. That's not the point that I want to bring. It says, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. In the word and doctrine. And what doctrine was Paul talking about? What doctrine did the Holy Spirit give? It's the doctrine of Jesus Christ that was confirmed by the apostles. God gave them signs and gifts and wonders. Read for Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. You'll see it. I don't even have to read the rest of that. I've already proved that point. But I want you to see those that I talked about just a moment ago when I said the lawless character is judged by God. Somebody say, I don't understand why you mentioned Pastor Dollar. He's a great man. Not to me. When it comes to the doctrine of God, you don't have to like that I mention his name. But I could also mention any other prosperity teacher like Kenneth Copeland. Or I don't even want to go through all the names. Just type prosperity preachers into Google and their name will come up. Now let's weigh what their doctrine is versus the only doctrine that matters, the doctrine of Jesus. 1 Timothy 6 and 3, it says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to hold wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife and words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, and evil surmising, perverse disputing of men's of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Here the word of God is saying that prosperity doctrine is perverse. It is destitute of the truth. And I'm trying to tell you that the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, the church of Ephesus, hated it. And God, through his son, said, I love that about you. I like that. Do we know how to hate false doctrine yet? Do we mock those that teach those things? Or do we let our brothers and sisters, all little babes that are trying to learn and grow in Christ, let them get their reign and their due from someone that's telling them the wrong thing? Do we even try to help them understand? Now go back, Tim, and read it in your calm voice. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof come envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, therewith be content. But they which will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrow. I would submit to you that those that teach otherwise, they have a different doctrine than the only one that matters, which is the doctrine of Jesus the Christ, which is fully riddled, which is fully laden with the Word of God. The Word of God as your presupposition, the Word of God as your worldview. And if they teach this right here, they will drown you. It can cause you great loss. It can cause your mind to be corrupted. It can cause you to be destitute of the truth. And what will end up happening? We see that this individual to do this, they lead them into foolish and hurtful lust. Well, if that's what you want to follow, you realize that you have shown Jesus that from your vantage point, he's a liar. And you don't care if the Father don't judge every man, but he judges. Well, I would submit to you, that's that kind of doctrine. But listen to what where you get proper doctrine. We're almost through. Because 2 Timothy 3:16, many of you all know that. You know it by heart. What does the Bible say? All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. You start at Genesis and you work your way all the way through. It is profitable for doctrine. You want to know the doctrine of God? You want to know the doctrine of Jesus the Christ? All you need to do is learn what the Bible says and understand that Jesus took all of the scriptures that were written up into his time and explained those scriptures and explained how they pointed to him. They're profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. But now, what does it say, all scriptures plus the Quran? Does it say all scriptures plus the Bhagavad Gita? Does it say all scriptures as well as the Constitution? Does it say all scriptures, even including the great books that were that I own? No! Exclusive. It's the only doctrine that matters. Why? Because it's solely set upon the Word of God. But now, how does it help one? Go to 2 Timothy. You're in the same book. Just roll to the 4th chapter. The 3rd verse is really pretty. The Bible said, for the time will come, talking about certain people, they will not endure sound doctrine. That's how it helps. It is sound doctrine. It is the kind of doctrine that will build an individual up. It's a healthy doctrine. It's a healthy teaching. Why is that? Because it's bathed in the Word of God. But listen to what John, before he wrote the book of the Revelation, had to say in 2 John. Listen to the 9th verse. He says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, as not God, He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Do you see how John wrote then? So do you think when Jesus gave this revelation to him that it was weird to him? No, it was not, because John already knew that there was one place to get doctrine. So when this message is given to him, they give to this church, you have this, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Understand, this is a big deal. Don't just read past it, he hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Okay, let's move to the next part. This is a big deal. Because like I said, when you move down to the 15th verse and you get a chance to see in Pergamos, they got the same kind of thing going on. And it says, these people were not the same here. It says, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitan, which thing I hate. Repent! Or else I will come to thee quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He just doesn't hate one, but see, if you understand the scripture, you'll understand why he can say this. I'm going to give you this one for free. I believe it's Matthew 6:24. If it's not, I was going to quote what I know what I'm looking for. No man can serve two masters. You can't have two different doctrines. Each doctrine comes from the master. No man can serve two masters. So if you got the prosperity message, although it's mixed with Bible, but it's not the doctrine of Jesus. If you're going to say you into Chrislam, part of Christianity, part of Islam, Christian, Buddhist, and you're going to mix, no man, this is the one that gets the judge saying this, can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. When they had some in that assembly that held to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, Jesus has already said, listen, else he will hold to the one. Some are holding the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You're going to despise my doctrine? And be all right with me? I will fight you. And sometimes I do mention you in my story, but that was the funny thing. Cause you said you were a little girl. You said I was little, and this big old boy was trying to make me come to his house. And you said he was way bigger than me, and I said, I will fight you. It's like, I will fight you. Imagine what Jesus says. You're going to hold their doctrine in my church. You think it's going to be okay to mix some with me? I will fight against you. With the sword of my mouth, I will fight you. Jesus said, you cannot have two masters. You will hate the one and love the other. Church in Ephesus, you hate them. You hate them. You love me, but you've left your first love. But you're showing that what I've said is true. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon, wealth, the god of money. You cannot serve God in the prosperity message. You can't do it. Tim, you think we all got to be broke? No. You serve God, and if he gives you wealth in your pocket, great. Now you got to understand, am I sinning with my money when I waste it? What do I do with it now for the kingdom? When you're broke, you don't really have that big an issue. You might have enough to pay your bills, and you might be short on your water. You might have enough to pay your bills, and somebody say, well, if you're serving God, you're never going to be broke. Do you understand we're in a wicked system that takes more tribute from you many times than Rome did from its citizen? Do you realize you have a wicked system that we're living in right now, where they made insurance companies do things, allow different people to come? come into this country, often when they have no insurance, and they go ahead and do their medical things and make you pay for it by higher insurance rates, higher medical things, and you don't think that eats in your pocket when they print more money? Now your $5 bill, because they made more of the $5 bill, is now only worth $4.20. Do you understand that's stealing from you from inflation? No, you don't understand. But I'm telling you, there are things often that governments will do, things that churches will do, and when we're under the rule of God, and all nations that forget God and are going to be turned into hell, there's suffering that takes place. Suffering with the righteous, suffering with the wicked, but the Lord knows how to preserve us. This book in the Revelation is talking about people that's going to suffer. They had already suffered, and I want you to understand, everybody's not going to be rich. There are some times that the government is able to do stuff to people. We read it in Hebrews chapter 10. Some of them had their properties confiscated. Sometimes their lives are taken and they're locked up. But will you be faithful unto death? Will you hold to the only doctrine that matters? The doctrine of Jesus the Christ. That's what he was presenting in the church of Ephesus. You don't take another doctrine. You don't hold another doctrine. You hate it, and I like it. And if the Lord be willing, on Saturday we're going to talk about hating, the proper hate, biblical hate, so that we can understand this church at Ephesus. It wasn't a stupid church. It fell from its first love. But if it hadn't fallen from its first love, just think about how much shame it would put us to. Well, you say, I can't make our assembly so-and-so, and I can't make the church I go to so-and-so. What about yourself? Deal with yourself first. First. Father, thank you for your blessed word. Thank you for your doctrine being the doctrine, the only doctrine that we can come to and understand how we're supposed to see and evaluate the world, our experiences, every fact that comes into life. Teach us to know how to let you be our starting point when we give advice, when we take advice, when we take a job, when we do anything, when we make our decision on what to do, when we decide whether or not we're going to go along with the political program. Help us to always remember you have a doctrine, and your doctrine covers every facet of life. Help us not to be those that will take a doctrine that you hate and try to hold it with your doctrine. For you've shown that church in Ephesus, as well as to us now, you will fight against those who try to bring another doctrine and hold it with yours. Help us and guide us and strengthen us, I pray, in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen. We will now prepare ourselves for